and welcome to another Brain Attack podcast. This is episode 11, entitled, I Don't Remember. I'm Andy Dovey. You'll have to take me just the way that you find me. Hello, everyone. I hope that you're all keeping well. One of the, I guess, more common issues suffered by those of us with brain injuries is that of memory. And this may be, poor memory in general, or it might be more specific memory problems like short-term memory, that's bad, long-term memory is okay, or maybe memory for names is poor, but memory for dates and times are okay, that type of thing. Luckily, my memory is pretty good. Well, I thought it was. Stupidly, I didn't factor into my cockiness the fact that if you suffer from poor memory, you may not remember that you suffer from poor memory. On that note, I have a story for you. One of the tasks I did when starting this Brain Attack music project was to get my music files in order. Now, the creative part of music making is completely diametrically opposed to what we might call an orderly approach to music making. And just as a silly example, if you look at the covers of records, LPs, vinyl, you'll often find photographs of song lyrics scribbled on the back of table napkins, odd scraps of paper, notes, pages, and quite literally the back of cigarette packets. Not many songwriters create a searchable database in Microsoft Access. No, when the creative juices are flowing, any logical thought goes out of the window. So if you're using a computer on which to compose, as nearly everyone does these days, the last thing you want is a raft of files automatically named by the software as something like audio_0001, right the way through to audio_0949 or something. In other words, 949 audio files, all neatly placed in a folder, automatically named by the software as audio files. Not a good place to be. I know, because I've been there many years ago when learning how all this stuff works. So for the modern day composer, you need to get organized first before you get inspired. Well, in order to head off this potential disaster, a few years ago, I painstakingly created a Brain Attack music folder on my laptop's D drive, which contained 18 subfolders named after all 18 tracks. At least that's what I was working on at the time. And the main music production software I use is something called Cubase. Best way to imagine that is some kind of PC-based recording studio. It's also known as a DAW, a DAW, a digital audio workstation. So I've got the main folder, I've got 18 subfolders, and in each of these 18 subfolders was a Cubase project file, also named after the relevant song. So I got organized. And this meant that I could then dump anything interesting, maybe samples that I came across, the sounds of an MRI scanner, sounds of a human heartbeat or whatever, I could dump those into the appropriate subfolder. And similarly, if I had a musical idea, I could quickly record something in the right place, save it in the appropriate subfolder, and obviously more importantly, I could then find it again at a later date. So think of all that searching time I'm going to save. I'm ahead of the game. Go me! Earlier, the more observant of my listeners will have noticed that I used the word painstakingly. Now, I used this word for a reason, because at the time I named all these folders, subfolders, project folders, files, and all the rest of it, I had an issue with my Windows upgrade. There's a surprise. So when I was creating or renaming a file or a folder, I only had a few seconds before Windows kind of timed itself out and resorted to displaying new folder as the folder name, as opposed to what I'd been typing. So if I'm typing something like 05 The Awakening Part 1 Demon Eye, I get as far as the 05 The Away, and then new folder would appear where I was typing. I resorted then to typing a few characters and hitting enter before the thing timed itself out, then selecting rename, typing a few more characters, hitting enter, selecting rename. You get the picture. And as you can probably imagine, it took me ages to name all these folders and subfolders and files. Just as an aside, I later discovered that the culprit here was my desktop setting, which I had on slideshow, you know, the sort of thing where you have a few pictures and the picture changes every few seconds. And what was happening was that every time the picture changed on my desktop, a new folder would appear. So I turned off the slideshow and it all worked perfectly. That's Microsoft for you, I suppose. Anyway. So all of this was done on my laptop. I wasn't using my main studio PC to do all this basic housekeeping on, as it's quite a big effort for me to go out to the garage, which is where my studio is. My laptop's in the house all the time, and it's fine for sketching out ideas as and when I have them. Anyway, I was looking for an old file on my laptop, and I couldn't find it. I wondered if it was on my studio PC. I didn't want to go out to the garage to power up Mission Control, as I call it. It was raining quite hard with very gale-force winds. But I remembered I had a backup of my studio PC on my portable hard drive. So I thought, I know, I'll try that and see what I've got. So I plugged that into my laptop and began rooting around for the file I was looking for. And lo and behold, what do I find? You guessed it, a folder called Brain Attack Music with 18 subfolders, all named after the 18 songs and all containing 18 Cubase project files named after the songs. Yeah, I'd done this already. But, and here's the kicker, I have absolutely no memory of doing that at all. Now, on further investigation, looking at the dates the files were created, I did this about 2 years earlier on my studio PC, which I then backed up onto the portable hard drive. Before I had this wonderful novel time-saving idea 2 years later, and did it all over again on my laptop, which, due to the Windows upgrade issue I mentioned, took bloody forever and was incredibly frustrating. And even more disturbing, for me anyway, was on closer inspection, I'd actually started writing music for, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 songs. Again, no recollection of this at all. And I'd downloaded various samples, which I'd saved safely into the appropriate folders, which, again, I'd only just done again recently, or for the first time, I thought, on my laptop, and it just took ages to search and find some well-recorded samples for things like MRI scanners on the web. Now, this on one side is quite amusing and quite funny, and I can certainly laugh about it now, as you can tell, but it's actually really tough to face up to. I mean, we've all forgotten something now and again, minor transgressions, things like forgetting where the car keys are, where we put our glasses, where we put our favourite pen, that type of thing. But to have no recollection of something that would have actually taken me many hours of work and required a lot of effort, that's fairly substantial, and I have to say was a big shock. I guess, too, I must have been in a bit of a state mentally when I originally did this, as not only have I got no memory of it, but the music that I uncovered was dreadful. I mean, awful, really bad, excruciating garbage. But the upside there is that I very quickly had a load of crap in my recycle bin, and it freed up a lot of hard drive real estate. These podcasts and the videos I do on my YouTube video channel and the blogs that I write on my website are very similar. I write them over a period of time, jotting down thoughts and ideas. With these podcasts, I do them in stages. With the videos, same thing, I do them in stages. So I've got a few of these things underway at the moment, you know, 10, 15, whatever. And when I review them, I often read stuff that I've written before or possibly hear stuff that I've said before, but I've got no memory of doing so. It's really bizarre. I know it's me that's written it or recorded it or whatever, but it all seems brand new. And occasionally, now and again, bits will seem familiar. And I may even read nearly exactly the same thing in two different documents written months apart. Keeps the surprise factor high, though. And all this, of course, is very amusing, unless you're trying to live through it and deal with it and mentally process it. You believe your memory is getting better. Hope springs eternal, doesn't it? And then you discover that you've already done what it is that you're currently spending hours doing. It's quite psychologically crippling, because what it means is everything you do after that, you're thinking, have I already done this? If I have, where is it? Constantly trying to, I suppose, second guess yourself. And when I talk to my wife and family, I find that my conversation is peppered with all kinds of caveats, like, oh, if I've already told you this, just stop me. Or I've probably asked you this a few times before, but I don't remember doing so forgive me if I ask again, that kind of thing. And I know the old grey matter has taken a bit of a bashing, but to find that you are kind of losing your mind is tough, to say the least. And it varies enormously. I can have periods where my memory seems to be okay. And equally, I have periods when it's shot to pieces and there doesn't appear to be any rhyme nor reason as to why this is. And I note from reading lots of Facebook posts from fellow brain injury survivors, I'm not alone. And this memory issue is quite common. Anyhow, that's it for now. In my next podcast, I'll talk about my first defining moment following my brain attack and brain surgery. If you'd like to follow me on social media, if you go to www.brainattackmusic.com, you can read a little bit more about the project and follow links to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube channel, and of course these podcasts. So until the next time, look after yourselves, take care, and keep on keeping on.